As wild as the NBA trade deadline, which is just 2 weeks away. We didn't get to talk about this yesterday. We talked a little bit about it with James Hamm. Mark Stein reported at some point during our show yesterday that the Nets and Kings allegedly haven't spoken in weeks, and that the Kings don't see a pathway to landing Cam Johnson. Again, that's Mark Stein's reporting. James said, "Yeah, that's fine." James says they're very well may be a hangup on giving up an unprotected first round pick. We don't know if there's discussions about giving up some sort of protected first round pick, whether it's top five, top 10, lottery, whatever. But clearly, Brooklyn, or at least at this point, 2 weeks before the deadline, wants an unprotected first round pick from Cam Johnson. I don't think that's just for Sacramento. I think that's in any deal involving Cam Johnson. And I'm sure with Sacramento, it's a little heightened that we want that pick to be unprotected because we think you guys suck and it could be as high as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
But again, you just have to choose what you want to believe at this point.
Right.
James is obviously hearing things. Mark Stein is obviously hearing things. Both are connected through different sources, and I'm going to choose to believe this is all just posturing because we are in heavy posture time here 2 weeks out. I think things get a little snugger next week, and then we'll start to find out what's real and what's not as we get within 6, 5, 4, 3 days of the trade deadline.
Who do you believe? I shouldn't say that because I think they're both getting this information.
Yeah, I believe both of them.
Who do what do you believe? Do you believe that it's posturing? Do you believe the deal talks are really off?
Let's take both of let's take the two things that they let's take the two. I don't think Mark said Stein said that the deal is off or there's they haven't talked in a while and Sacramento doesn't see a pathway to land Cam Johnson. Okay, so let's take that line. If Sacramento is reluctant to give up an unprotected first-round pick, and that is what Brooklyn is adamant that they want, James and Mark are both right. And it's just, if I'm going to guess, 100% guess on my part, is Mark might be hearing stuff from the Brooklyn side. And they are adamant that they want a first-round pick. Or adamant that they want an unprotected first-round pick. And Sacramento was just of the mindset, we don't want to do that. And there you have it.
Would either of you guys...
Does anyone's stance loosen up in the next 14 days? I don't know.
Would either of you guys give up an unprotected first-round pick for Cam Johnson if you were the Kings? I think I would.
I think I would, too.
It would depend on the year. But I think I would. And I only say that because if you're in a situation where you need those picks and like it went all bad and not having that pick is just killing you, that means you're probably not good. And my outlook on the Kings' future right now is you can always recoup that pick in a Fox trade.
And if you're that bad, you've traded De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Is that an overpay, giving up an unprotected first for a player coming off your bench?
Probably.
Probably giving up Kevin Huerter in that regard too, which is fine. Kevin logged 5 minutes last night. So
the scary thing about it though is you may feel like you have to do it because we talk about Kevin Huerter who just looks lost out there a lot of the time.
When he's out there.
Yeah. But now I got my eye on Devin Carter, who I still don't want to trade. I'm not trying to put him in any of these deals. But he looks much like boxing when a fighter is hurt. Devin, you got to show me something. Because right now, he's getting
defend yourself, Devin.
He's getting those single digit, minutes and the one look, and then you're out for the rest of the game. And he's got to start. The most important thing for me is he's got to start hitting some shots.
I don't want to say it's expected because you want him to play better, obviously. But isn't that kind of something that comes with being a rookie coming in midseason?
Yeah.
Like, with yeah, a team, middle of a coaching change.
I think this might be more of a can't play versus have to trade them situation. He's starting, Devin Carter is starting his, essentially his NBA career at a tough time. Like the Kings were in a bad spot. They made a coaching change. He debuted after the coaching change, right? Right yeah. after. Yeah. And so, you know, we had to right the ship, and thankfully they did. You know, they won, what was it, 6 straight? They've won, you know, now 10 of 12. And they're doing that in situations where, you know, it's not ideal. You know, that's kind of the flip side to this. Over the last 12 games, we're marveling and cheering the fact that they came back from 18, 17, 18 in these games. Okay, maybe let's stop going down by 18, 17,
that's
and 18.
Would help.
And that, I think, more than anything, is Doug's willingness to, look, I'm going to try it. Look, DeMar's cooking. Domas is cooking. I'm gonna ride this out until I feel like this lineup has died. Mm-hmm. And that's what's preventing Devin Carter and Kevin Huerter from getting out there. You could trust. You probably don't even know what Devin Carter really provides. Mm-hmm. Kevin probably doesn't provide you anything. Mm-hmm. Unless he's hitting shots, he probably doesn't provide you anything. And if you're just putting someone out there in the hopes that they hit a shot, you could do that with Keon. Mm-hmm. You did that with De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. You knew you were going to need offensive production in the fourth quarter. Doug trusted De'Aaron to be able to do something. And De'Aaron rewarded him for that.
Yeah.
Devin, I don't think you know what he brings to the table yet.
Yeah.
And if it's defense, if it's rebounding, the Kings did that just fine. And you got Keon Ellis out there, you're fine.
And I'm of the belief, just like with Kevin Huerter, just because these guys can't play 48 minutes, like you got to play them. You got to play Devin. You got to play Kevin Huerter. Even it's for this.
Even in games like last night?
Yeah, the 6 minutes is valuable. The 6 minutes keeps Debo from playing 46 minutes or something like that.
6 minutes in a game.
Yeah.
Got you. Yeah. Okay.
Like, even that right now, because you are so paper thin in the rotation, even that is valuable. So just you got to put them both out there. But mm-hmm. I want to start seeing Devin play a little better. I want to see him be a little bit more effective out there. One of the difference between him and Kevin Huerter is even though Devin isn't able to hit shots, he can still contribute with effective defense and even handling the basketball for 3-4 minutes at a time. And that's another reason why, like, you just got to have him out there. But I want to see some production coming from him pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for him, you know, to give you that production without the steady minutes. Mm. And I think the only way that Devin Carter gets steady minutes, I think if the Kings are in a game, you know, 6 minutes into the third, that's, you know, 72-70, 70, you know, in either direction, you know, plus or minus 5. Mm-hmm. I think you see Devin Carter and Kevin Huerter in those regards.
Yeah.
I think when you're scrapping and clawing, trying to see, you know, there's probably a, I don't think Doug would have waved the white towel at if it was a 18-point game at the start of the fourth. But I think we would have seen some different things throughout the third had they not dug into that deficit. Mm-hmm. And we probably would have seen 3 to 4 minutes coming out of the half. And if we're at, sorry, coming go into the fourth quarter, and if you're still at 18, then you're out.
Yeah.
In the game, and now Devin Carter's playing, now Kevin Huerter is playing, and all of that. But he chose to ride this lineup. And I think those are unique situations based on what's happening in the course of the game. Mm-hmm. It's great that the Kings, like, if the Kings could just avoid getting into these deficits, we might be able to see Devin Carter play a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or and even Kevin Huerter, like, you're probably seeing Kevin Huerter play more.
Yeah, and to your point, it's one of those things. I felt this way.
See Alex Lynn.
Mm-hmm. I felt this way in the Milwaukee game. Like, when they were down 18-19 going into the fourth quarter. And I was like, if I'm Doug Christie in this situation, I look at these guys, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes. About 3 minutes to show me something.
Maybe even 4.
Yeah, and if not, then we're gonna get you ready for the next game, and they did show something. They showed something. It a little too late, but they got it to like 11, went on a run or something like that. So they played a little longer than they got an opportunity to play a little bit longer. But yeah, that might be one of those things. And then tonight may be one of those things where, you know, you're going to play your starters, but man, Herter and Carter, they're going to have to play 15 minutes, regardless of like what the score is looking like. I mean, it may result in us losing the game, mm-hmm. because I had them out there for longer than normal, but it feels like it'd be a little bit tough to have these guys going, 39 minutes back-to-back games, back-to-back nights. Like,
yeah.
You're just going to have to play these guys a little bit. So
I know it's not the same, because it's Sacramento, I think, to San Francisco. Miami had the double overtime, you know, fist fight against Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Didn't they beat the Warriors the next night?
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that Sacramento beat the hell out of the Warriors. That's all. No, but in all seriousness, that's a double overtime game where your guys go out there, you find a way to win on the second night. Now, this is different. And I think the most concerning thing was, I don't know if you saw DeMar DeRozan get asked about it. I think it was at the podium about that Denver back-to-back, like the Denver Nuggets being the second team on a back-to-back. And I think he said something like, yeah, it feels like the league, like it's a trick. Like the league is just like sending you out there to slaughter.
Damn,
man! Like, I mean, he was laughing. He called it a setup. He's like, the league is just setting you up out to go do that. And again, he was laughing as he was saying it, but acknowledged that it's the toughest place to play on a back to back.
And I think,
it doesn't hurt that Denver's, you know, you got to deal with Jokic and all of those guys.
Yeah, the team
out there
is good.
Yeah, in addition to Denver,
right. I think Gary Gerald, G-Man, put out on Twitter, they got in at like 3 a.m. or something, like 2 a.m.
2:31.
Yeah.
Number I remember.
He was expecting to get in the bed by 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I think Mark Jones said something similar.
So, yeah. I'm looking back at that game that the Heat beat the hell out of the Warriors in.
What was that?
The Heat beat the hell out of the Warriors.
Oh, and when the second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of back-to-back. Yeah. Beat the hell out of
double overtime against Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Went to San Francisco.
The dental office.
Yeah. And all. Yeah.
Beat their ass. So here's the thing. In the Kings game, the Heat had guys like Bam, Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier, Jaime Hawkins.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Play 46, 41, 49, 45, 46 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In the Warriors game, those same guys, 23, 30, 26, 32, 20, 29, and they were able to play a Jovic, 34 minutes. They were able to play a Duncan Robinson, 21 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Burke, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that had to do with the fact that they were blowing out the Warriors, yeah. And they were able to do that. But, I mean, they weren't willing to play those guys 45 again, right. Either. So,
yeah.
It's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. Leading them to slaughter, ain't that what?
He called it a setup. I might have improvised a little bit. He called it a setup.
I like what you said better. That's funny.
We'll come back. We'll look back at that Denver game as well. We'll also look around the league. Big time performance from SGA. And what an ending to that Cleveland-Houston game. My goodness. We'll talk about that. Matt George, 1 hour from now. It's Thielen with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Matt George coming up 1 hour from night now, host of the Locked On Kings podcast. Great work over at ABC 10 as well. So we'll talk to Matt coming up 3:15-ish. Kings get the win last night. Man, interesting night in the NBA. Interesting night tonight. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Looking back at last night, did you see the way that the Cavs and Rockets ended with Darius Garland?
You know what? I missed that, man. And I saw some people talking about it. They didn't have a video, but I didn't see how it went down.
Darius losing in Houston. Garland missed 2 of 3 free throws to give Cleveland the win. And
so they were down one.
He's a 90% free throw shooter. No, they were down two.
They were down two.
Yeah, he was shooting 3 free throws. Uh-huh. He misses the first one, misses the second one, hits the third one, and they lose.
Why did he make the third one? How much time was left?
No, there was a little bit of time left. But yeah, 90% free throw shooter.
That's tough when you got a guy like that. Like you said, 90% free throw shooter.
And he did the thing where all you could do is just turn around and like, all right.
You know, I'm hitting free throws in those situations. I'll never like get back to the fact or go away from the fact that that's tough. Mm-hmm. That is tough. And I am impressed with how many times basketball players in general, whether it's NBA guys for sure, because they do it routinely. But college, hit those big free throws in those moments, man. That is not easy. Like I said, I've done it. I've been at the line, you know, with the game on the line or whatever. I made them, but I'm not gonna lie to you. I was nervous as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different. I was so much more nervous at the free throw line than clock's winding down, let me get a jump shot off. Like, that was fine. Like, that wasn't a big deal. Free throw, man, I had to calm myself down. You know what I mean? So, I'm actually surprised it doesn't happen more, but it's a testament to these basketball players that they can buckle down, they can focus in those moments and not have that happen. So, I'm surprised what a guy like Darius Garland that did happen last night.
Yeah, Shout out Grant Williams.
Oh, man.
I'm going to make them both.
That was Cleveland. Oh, that was Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, shut up. Way to make them both, Grant.
That's tough. Who told him?
He was talking to Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, was it Donovan?
Yeah.
Nobody even asked him anything. He just didn't.
I don't even want to talk. Like, yes. He was like, oh, I'm going to make them both. And then he missed and they lost.
You sound like you're still upset.
I'm not. I remember that game. No, okay. That pissed me off. Grant Williams, like,
December.
Trying to. No, Grant Williams trying to be the superhero. Like, oh, yeah, it's Grant Williams time. Here we go. Like, relax, dude.
So the Celtics lost the championship off of that game? Or
cause this is little things that he did.
Oh, you're not a big
bro,
Grant Williams
would get the ball and act like he was Allen Iverson. I'm going to take this defender off the dribble right now.
Remember.
I want to get under Jesse's skin. Just mention Grant Williams.
Get him a Grant Williams jersey.
Remember when he pissed off Jimmy Butler and they lost in the playoffs?
Yeah, he did, but that's more on your boys. Like, all right, so he talked to Jimmy Butler. What are you supposed to do, cower down to him? Win the games.
Just don't piss him off if you're Grant Williams.
That one I will defend Grant Williams. I'm like, wait.
You got little Teddy, ninth man on the bench, is pissing off the opposing team's best guy.
You want me to be scared? You want me to back down from the guy? He start talking, I'm going to start talking. Where my people at? Where my teammates at? Well, they didn't like him. That's why they weren't there. But remember when LeBron got Gilbert Arenas? Gilbert Arenas looked terrified.
I watched that highlight last week.
Yeah. Literally.
He looked terrified. And I just got done saying, like, it's super nerve-wracking, so I'm not, like, trying to talk crazy about him. But the weight of the world was on his shoulders for those two shots.
Was it Nick Anderson or Kenny Anderson?
Nick Anderson.
Nick.
Is that the biggest free throw infamous thing?
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Mm. Because he was never the same after that, they say, right?
Nah, I think he came to Sacramento shortly afterwards.
About 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
Because he was on the 99 team. He was the starting shooting guard.
99?
Yeah. Starting shooting guard that year. Maybe he was on the 2000 team. He made the playoffs with one of those teams, though.
Okay.
Because when they played, I think it was the next year, because it was when they played the Lakers, he was a starting shooting guard. They had to go get Doug.
Yeah. But Doug been saving our asses ever since.
Pretty much.
Man.
Yeah, that was tough, though. Nick Anderson missing those four. And if I think they were up three.
Mm.
You make one of the four, and you probably win game one. You probably still lose the series, but I mean, it was one of those things where those guys.
That's the J.R. Smith play, right? You have an opportunity to win the game. That was game one, right? The mm-hmm. J.R. Smith play was game one.
Yeah.
The Cavs were in a position there, and, you know, the J.R. Smith play happens.
Well, you probably win the game, and D'Lo and Casey aren't talking about you 33 years from then.
Well, you know what I remember most?
Yeah, you're right. They might lose the finals, but they're not still talking about Nick Anderson.
You know what I remember most about the J.R. Smith play? It's not, I mean, everyone remembers the LeBron thing.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron going back to the bench and looking at Ty Lue.
We had a timeout?
He said, we didn't have a timeout. And Ty Lue goes, we did. And LeBron just sits and looks straight ahead. It's like, that man's out of here.
Mm.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
A lot of people say that was one of the great, and it was. It's not one of the great NBA Finals performances of all time, that game one from LeBron. What do you have, 51?
Yeah, that.
And like 17 rebounds or something.
Series from LeBron was crazy. Yeah, that was the LeBron is the MVP on a losing team series.
That series, no, well, was it not? Nah, it was more 15. Because that 15. Yeah, that year that you're talking about, I remember hearing that rumblings, but game two wasn't close. Game three was close. KD hit the 2 3-pointers on him. And game four, literally game four, I didn't watch.
Yeah.
But he went crazy in that game one.
15. I don't remember. Maybe,
15
maybe,
was when Dele almost died.
Yeah. Thank God Dele's still with us.
I don't know if he's going to make it, guys. What happened? He guarded Steph Curry.
Call it. Hey, do we got his next to Ken?
And then I'll never forget.
Just remember that. The idea. Who was the coldest in the game? Well, Steph nearly killed a person.
Did he stay overnight? Do we know that?
We know he got...
He had the IV.
He went... He was so dramatic. Like, he went to the hospital to get an IV. Like, all of the things that they have at an arena. They can't hook the man up to an IV.
You don't got no... Yeah. That's got to be somewhere there.
I'll never forget the game four. That was game three. Game four, Dele's back out there. I think the Cavs were winning at the half, maybe like four or something like that. Dele, they start the second half. 2 minutes in, I need a sub, coach. I said, oh, they're finished.
All right,
they
bro.
Just had halftime. He's asking for a sub.
It's bad enough. He stayed overnight. He wasn't even released in the morning. They kept until the following afternoon.
In the euphoria... It perhaps went unnoticed just what sort of price Dellavedova paid for that Game 3 performance. The Cavs doctors were concerned enough with the severe cramping that they called for a stretcher and sent him to the Cleveland Clinic for overnight IVs to get him rehydrated. He wasn't released until the following afternoon.
They woke up. He's like, nah, doc, I need to be here a couple more hours.
Dellavedova says... I probably pushed it a little. I thought I'd pushed it before, but there was just so much on the line. I wasn't scared. What was scary was how am I going to prepare for the next game? I only had one day's rest between the game. I told him I didn't need to go to the hospital, but then I thought to myself, what would happen if these cramps happened in the middle of the night? I would have been screwed.
Brother, stretch. All right. Would you rather be the
Keon just out here guarding him like he's nothing, and Deli out here dying?
Would you rather be the guy that had to stay overnight in the hospital because you had to guard Steph Curry, or the guy who got carted out with an air cast and didn't break anything?
Oh,
I'd rather be Deli.
Yeah, I'd rather
you start
be,
the
I'd
next week. By the way, you start. You're back the next week.
I'd rather be.
I'd rather be Deli. Yeah. for sure. The crazy thing about Deli, you talking about? I don't know. You guys know I'm pretty competitive. I love the game of basketball. There is a point where I'll be like, all right, Steph, you can shoot. Go ahead. If I'm feeling like Deli, where's I don't know if I'm going to make it. Or, all right, man, hey, go off that screen, man. I'm not killing myself to stop Steph Curry from shooting a shot.
And the whole idea, like, what if I get a leg cramp, like, when I'm sleeping? Like, you've never been able to, like, you've never dealt with that before?
Deli played 38 minutes in that game.
And I think John Bull, is this accurate? Steph still had 27 points on 7 of 13.
Went to the hospital for nothing.
Well, Deli scored 20 in that one,
nah,
too.
No, Deli was cooking. Deli was cooking. I might have to pull that up
Hold on, man.
I might have to pull that up, man. Hold on, man. See the highlights of that game.
This dude, your boy, texted me and said, was on air, D. My bad. You good? Nah, I'm just fine. Hey, hold on, man. How come? Well, see, what did he turn his? Oh, I'm going to hit this button. FaceTime video.
Hey, oh, Steph.
No, hold on. We're going to try this again. Look. No, this is Guru.
We hitting Guru.
No, Guru.
Hey!
Hey!
Guru! What up, though?
Go. We live, man. We just, don't mind us. We just doing a radio show. We just trying to check on all our people out there, man. Nobody want to answer the phone today.
Yeah, no. I was on the air, and I wish I was. Nah,
no, don't do that. We called you during a commercial break. We was watching the stream. We waited.
Hey, KD, what's he doing?
What up?
I see you. Hey, yo, that was a good win, man. Why y'all rubbing my face in it, though?
We getting all these people walking down Market Street.
You see me?
Hey, good. We just checking in on you. We love you, boy. That's all.
Hey,
no doubt. And I'll tell you this. I got a house at Sac, so I'm not mad when the Kings win. This Warriors on mine all day. But I root for y'all, man. That was a big win. Y'all did it.
Hey, Goo, you gotta blame Bonte, because Bonte FaceTimed me at halftime. That's why we calling everybody right now.
Hey, and he said that on the air, and I said he jinxed it. That's what happened. Bonte jinxed it. I'm going to hit him after this. Hey, I listen to y'all every day. Y'all keep up the good work, man.
All right, we appreciate you, bro.
Right.
Thanks, yeah, brother. Yeah, man, Gook thought something was wrong. He's like, D, you good? Oh, man, we called you during a commercial break, bro.
Hey, that's a good friend right there, though.
That is a good friend.
It's a good person right there.
That is a good friend right there, man.
Oh, man.
Good people, man.
That is terrific.
I be trying to tell Goo, man. You got to come to the Goal One Center. Hey, he been there a couple times.
Shout out Bonte and Goo. They both called back. Matt Nahegan and Danny in San Francisco. They don't want no part of it.
Damn. What those?
Yeah, the funny thing about Matt Nahegan, he don't even have my phone number. He don't even know who called him. That video message we left him probably went into the abyss somewhere. Like an old Nick Cattles tweet.
Oh, gosh. What's Nick up to? Anybody know what Nick is up to?
That's Chris's boy. We should ask him. I don't know. Maybe covering the Patriots.
What's the quarterback's name? Drake May.
Drake May and now Mike Vrabel and the return of Josh McDaniels. And
what was the other boy's name?
I have no clue what that brother's name was.
I don't know. No disrespect.
Nah.
By the way, for everybody asked, well, nobody asked, but everybody saw what was going on last night.
Casey's like one of those influencers on Instagram. For everybody who's been asking about my skincare routine.
No, nobody asked, but I know people saw it over the weekend. And for real, I talked to John Dickinson last night. We good. Like, we 100% good, man. JD.
Wait, would you guys have beef?
It started. No, we didn't have. We never had beef. Okay. But I called him out on something, a tweet that he made after Mike Brown got fired. And I was like, oh, man, still no mention of the Kings playing well, like how we talk about on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody got so much to say, but when they're playing good, don't nobody have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday, I was just going through, I had time. So I was like, man, looking on JD's timeline and still hearing nothing back,
mm-hmm.
you know, after this tweet, I quote tweeted the tweet. And he was like, oh man, I'm accountable. Get out of here with that BS, da 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 da. And I preferenced it by saying, like, I like JD, man. This ain't no dig. But I just noticed this is how people be moving. And he did the same. He said the same thing to me. And I saw him yesterday, and I was like, I meant what I said. Like, I don't have no problem with you. You said something. You tweeted something that I thought was whack, and I commented on it. It wasn't nothing to go back and forth about or because I got a problem with you. And he was like, I feel the same thing. I responded. Is what it is. People on, you know how I can be on Twitter when something like that happens. People are like, oh, cook that fraud or that. Like, no, I don't see JD like that. Like, he's cool. He's hella cool. But I just didn't. I took umbrage with that. So my boy Mark Haynes was like, man, I thought I was going to have to separate y'all and JD. So me and JD good, man.
We need to get Mark on the video so he could come, like, hang out for real.
Yeah. Chris was in the building last night.
Oh man, that's a big deal. Chris took a break from breaking news.
Yeah, man. Chris was in the building.
Breaking news. Chris don't need to work for nobody to break news.
right.
He's just out there doing his. He out there doing his thing. Right. He had something today. It's in the notes somewhere.
Yeah, about Bron and Bronny.
Well, he had that. Yeah. He had that.
What was in the notes? Yeah, I saw that last night.
The Bucks and Chris said the Bucks have not talked to the Suns about Bradley Beal.
I believe both our people on that one too. I believe it's all about the wording, right?
I don't know.
The Bucks have talked to the Suns,
right?
But they could have let it be known, or Brad could have let it be known that I'm open to
the Bucks might not have to talk to the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks might have to talk to Miami. Once Miami is like, okay, we could do this, then the Bucks still don't need to talk to the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
They need to talk to Brad and Brad's agent.
Right.
And that's where the wording that you talk about comes into play, because I don't think there's a conversation about the Bucks trading with the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's talks of the Bucks being the third team involved in a deal that sends my Jimmy Butler to Phoenix. And then Brad, I guess the one constant in everybody's reporting is, for whatever reason, Miami does not want Bradley Beal. Or they, not for whatever reason. They don't want that contract back.
Right.
They do not want Bradley Beal and the $100-some-odd million he's owed. So Milwaukee probably just needs to deal with Miami at this point. And then once Miami signs off on how this whole thing looks, then they have to connect with Brad's people and figure out, will Brad come to play with Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't imagine a dude who's now been relegated to the bench because Phoenix is trying to get him out of there wouldn't willingly go play with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I think that'd be a no-brainer.
Get out of Phoenix, bro. Mm-hmm. Like that. Of course, Phoenix won by like 80 last night. Mm-hmm. Book and, you know, KD had one of them games. They beat Brooklyn by, you know, I think they beat them by upwards of 30.
That they've been able to, and salute to them, aside from Cleveland, they've had a pretty soft schedule the last week and a half, and they've taken advantage.
The Bucks?
Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And they've taken advantage to keep themselves above water.
Oh, aside from the Phoenix-Cleveland game. Got you.
Yeah, because Cleveland was a tough game on MLK. They got beat up, but Phoenix has been able to stay above water with some of these games they've had. In the last probably week or so, and last night was no different.
Hey, peep this lineup for tonight. We know the Kings and the Nuggets are playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a big time for the Kings. The Mavericks are in Oklahoma City.
Mm.
Shea went for 54 last night.
Mm, that was crazy.
Mavs are in OKC.
Give me that loss for the Mavs.
The Bulls are in San Francisco.
Steph is questionable.
Yeah, Steph's always questionable on the second night of a back-to-back. Celtics and Lakers.
Mm. Let's go Tatum.
Well, the Wizards are at the Clippers.
Oh, man. Why do Wizards keep playing these people? Why don't the Wizards ever play the Hornets? Why? Wizards versus the Suns. Wizards versus the Lakers. Wizards versus the Warriors. Come on.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say they're on the West Coast.
I'll bet you the Wizards just are probably asking the when same question, Portland. Too.
Well, normally there's two trips to the West Coast. They need to play Portland and San Antonio. What was that, Jesse?
I said the Wizards are probably asking the same question KC is right now, too. Why can't we play any of the easy teams?
Why do we keep playing these above 500 teams?
Wizards are 1-18 on the road.
Man. Don't the Kings have the record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is crazy, too. I'm looking, you probably see it, too. Not to be outdone, the Raptors are 1-19 on the road.
Mm.
Wow.
I wasn't even looking at that. Goodness gracious. Wow. All right. Well, okay.
I mean, we don't see anybody tie the Kings.
Oh, losing? No, I don't think so. What was it? 40 something in a row?
40 something, but then they go they won one road game. Was that
in a season?
Or did the 40 straight, did it span two seasons?
I thought it spanned two seasons.
I don't think that happens.
Kings road loss record. Oh, that didn't work.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. Well, let me see. I got to see the schedule. I don't know when the Wizards going to win on the road this year.
43 straight games. The 90 and 91 seasons.
No, the Wizards might win a couple on the road. And what I do say, I mean a couple. They got at Utah still. They're at Charlotte twice.
And this is amazing. It has the streak breaker where the 43 came to an end. They won in Orlando 95-93. Oh, Orlando must have been sick.
What year was that?
91.
That's before they got Shaq. So they was doing what they could to
1991.
Shaquille O'Neal sweepstakes. Do you remember watching Shaq in LSU?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I do.
I don't remember at all. Like I just remember this guy coming into the league.
I was an avid Sports Illustrated reader. And that's how I, you know, like, oh, okay. I wasn't watching LSU every, like I saw him. Mm. Oh, that's the guy that they're talking about. And then, you know, he winds up in Orlando and becomes bigger than life.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first NBA draft that I think I vividly remember.
Yeah, I probably feel the same way.
Yeah, like, I'm a basketball expert now at 11 years old. I know what's going on.
On the post game with Deuce and Ball.
Yeah,
old Damien.
Yeah, that's right. Damn right.
Yeah, I think that's the same. That's the first rookie I kind of remember.
Because that was Shaq, Alonzo, and Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner, yeah.
Alonzo was two? Or was Christian Laettner two?
No, I think Alonzo
was two. Christian Laettner was three.
Because that was some of the first college basketball I really remember, too. That was the Grant Hill shot.
Mm-hmm.
The Grant Hill shot was before that because I remember the Final Four, Grant Hill was by himself. Laettner was gone.
Uh-huh.
So Laettner might... Oh, man, I'm getting confused now.
What Grant Hill shot are you talking about?
Grant Hill pass. The pass to
Laettner. Oh, the pass to Christian Laettner.
Laettner shot. Yeah. Sorry about that. Grant Hill was gone. Was by himself. Damon Sotomayor was on Arizona. And Arizona with Corliss Williamson won a national championship and mm-hmm. Bill Clinton called that. So I just remember that was... The thing that stuck. The president wants these guys to win the national championship.
Jerry, what was bro's name again? The Arkansas coach.
Nolan Richardson.
Nolan Richardson. That's what it was. He coached. Yeah, he coached the Tulsa Shock for a second and a half.
He coached the Mexico national team.
Okay.
I think he might currently coach the Mexico national team.
Really?
Yeah.
Coach Cal brought,
I saw a couple months ago, he brought him in to practice at Arkansas.
Nolan Richardson, 83 years old.
Mm.
He is, I Man Ridley still might he's be still, coaching that team.
He's still coaching the Mexican.
I'm trying to see. He's most known for Arizona. It doesn't have an end date for his time with Mexico.
He's still going.
He might still be doing it. That man's just out there living.
That is a basketball lifer right there.
Richardson was named. Yeah, it doesn't indicate that he stopped doing that. So shout out to Nolan Richardson, 83 years old. Goodness gracious.
Doing his thing.
Goodness gracious. We'll come back. Matt George is going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll prep you for a night of basketball.
Man,
here.
Game tonight.
The Sacramento Kings are back at it. The last time they played Denver was definitely memorable.
I want this win tonight, too. I want this win. I'll explain why.
On Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, Casey's worked up over the game tonight. It's the Kings and the Denver Nuggets. Before we get into what happened the last time these two teams played, why are you so worked up about tonight's game?
Remind you, I told you this is going to be a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that I'm like, man. You didn't say,
I think that's not what I heard. I heard you said Del Christie was going to get his ass kicked. And Mason Jones
KC
was going to play.
KC basically quit.
That's what he did. It's the Indiana Pacers all
yeah,
over again.
You were giving Mason Jones minutes already. Mm-hmm. And we weren't even into the second hour of the show.
I'm just saying, by the way, it is 2:48, and the chill has come over the studio.
Okay, all right. I'll fix it. Go ahead.
Well, you don't have to. I'm just. You were right. You said.
Oh yeah. I don't know what it is. The temperature never changes on the thermostat.
Yeah.
But it very clearly changes. And something happens at like 2 o'clock where it's like, yo, it is cold.
I was probably a ghost.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I mean, I'm bundled
I know
up.
One
I'm
thing.
Good now.
So but, here's the weird thing. Here's what I absolutely hate about this building. We can control our rooms, right? Jesse's room is a sweat box. This room we keep cold, but you walk into just where everybody is, it's hot in this building.
Mm.
It is uncomfortable in this building. And I know it'll change when the summer gets here because they'll crank the AC and do all of that stuff. Summer, you can't even sit in that performance lounge area.
No.
But like the erratic temperatures from room to room in this building. Going to the wake up call studio, you might kill yourself.
Oh.
It is just death. You're like, what do they call them? The things in the desert, the mirages.
Oh, yeah.
You go in there when Kevin is controlling the thermostat, you start thinking like you're standing next to a cactus. It's ridiculous.
And I guess you stall them out because they're in the morning. So it's usually cold. So you want it warm.
They in there with blankets on and.
But the varying in temperatures in this studio is just
crazy,
bizarre. Like I said, well, it is brother, chilly as hell right
brother,
now.
Brother, you were the one. Jesse was concerned about you. Jesse
I was legit concerned for KC.
Jesse was about to double you.
Yeah, that was not a bit.
Get you a stretcher and over to Kaiser because you was sweating like crazy.
KC was like, what's the temp in here? I'm sweating. He's like, it feels like it's 76. I hope it's 76. Like, 69. Bro, go to the doctor.
KC said it's 77 degrees in here. I was like, sir, I don't think that it is.
KC's sweating like it's Death Valley and all that.
Had sweat pouring down the top of his head. Oh, man. Show was literally 5 minutes old. My man dances to light the beam, and he is cooked.
Man, we was active, man. That's what happens sometimes on Flashback Fridays when we get active.
Oh, yeah. We get up.
Get active. Yeah. But nah, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. This is a I don't really believe in, like, the schedule
and
loss
Denver
type thing.
Denver didn't play last night. They played the night before.
Yeah. And they were home. They ain't even traveled.
Right.
So they've been home for three, 4 days.
Stupid 5-1-3-2 jerseys or whatever.
You know what? I saw those. They changed them. I hadn't seen these. And you said you liked them.
Yeah.
I like those. Are cool.
Yeah, I like those a lot. Cool. I just don't like the number.
Understandable.
I don't like the number at all. If it said Denver, I could.
5280.
I'd rather it said Nuggets.
If I was from Denver, I'd have 5280 tattooed on me.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Bro, it's my
house. It's a city, man. Come on, man.
Can I ask you something?
City.
Why do you dark skinned dudes get tattoos? Because you know you can't see them.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Ladies like them.
Okay.
You know, tattoos, the thing about it, though, for me, is tattoos used to mean something.
Hmm.
And now everybody got tattoos.
Well, it might mean something to that person, though.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, if there's like a meaning to a tattoo, that's different. But like people just getting sleeves just to get sleeves. Like,
I get sad that I don't have tattoos because like I don't feel like I have anything that like I want to keep that with me forever.
Well, that's what people,
except my dogs, and I'm fine with the necklace. Well, I'm just good. This is good enough for me.
Yeah. I'm almost stuck between a rock and a hard place because sometimes I'm like, I kind of wish I never even got tattoos. Not because I don't like them, but like I said, everybody got tattoos.
What are your
now.
Tattoos of?
I got a panther.
Because I can't see him.
I got a panther. I got my name.
A panther, like a?
Just a panther. Black panther.
Oh, okay.
Going down my arm. Got my name. Got the KC Royals logo. Kenny. This was the first one I ever got when I was like
Kenny
16.
Was the first. Okay.
Did you get
in trouble?
No.
Oh.
No. I knew it was happening. Okay. That's why it's so, it's just Kenny. Like, cause I'm like, I'm not getting anything crazy. Just my name. Then I got KC in a basketball, the Royals logo in a basketball. I got a cross with my mom in Psalms 23. And then I have a 19 in Roman numerals. Me and Jasmine have that. And I have
what's the 19 for?
That was like our anniversary before we got married.
Okay.
Then I got a rosary that goes into my clavicle. That was like the worst one. That was crazy. And then I got two stars.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. I feel like I'm on a rock and hard because these are all just these random little spread out tattoos. It's almost like I probably shouldn't have got them, but I don't need any of them. But I have them, so I need to like complete them. Like I need a sleeve somewhere. That's kind of how I feel. Like I'm kind of tired of having these one-off tattoos. Like since I have them, I might as well just get some type of sleeve.
Hmm.
And that's.
Well, I think Nick said it. Where's Nick? Yeah, Nick says tattoos
expensive.
Are addicting. That's what Kyle says too. They just get like, oh yeah, I'll put another Disney character on my arm.
I'm delivered. I ain't got a tattoo since in about 12 years.
Hmm.
The rosary was the last thing I got.
Get that Laker mural you tatted.
Donnie,
you posed by.
What are you talking about? Yeah. What are we doing?
The chosen one.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? If I was from Denver, though, I would have 5280 on my.
We'll get 916 then.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe so.
You want to get the altitude, but not the.
But yeah, tough game tonight. But I want to beat Michael Malone. Man.
We'll get that tattoo.
I want him to lose to the Kings. Now, here's the thing. I like Michael Malone. I really do. I know it doesn't seem like it because I'm always complaining about him. But I like him, man. I like his story. I think he's a great coach. And you know this about me. If Michael Malone was on our side, I would like that he's a little curmudgeon. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like how I feel about Devin Booker. Like, it bothers me when I'm going against him, but I do like and appreciate that he's not always just happy and cheery. Like, he's pissed off about something. But I want to beat his ass every time I play the Nuggets now. Mm-hmm. I'm done with Michael Malone. I'm done with all that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to smack the Nuggets every time, and tonight is no different. I want that Nuggets win tonight. I want the Nuggets win. Come on.
This is so weird because 2 hours ago you had Mason Jones playing.
I did.
You said this thing could get ugly tonight.
It could.
Okay. But you're still demanding a victory.
I want it.
Okay.
I want the Nuggets win.
Well, here's.
I want Michael Malone to apologize at the podium. I want him to give a shout out to Doug Christie after Christie beats his ass in Denver. That's what I want.
I don't think
it's like the second promo you cut today.
It's a fact, Jack.
Bruh. Yeah, don't ever let that be forgotten. That's a fact, Jack. Is incredible.
On then that today's show.
Absolutely incredible.
I don't think the game's going to be as bad as people are expecting. I feel like people are projecting a little bit.
So here's the thing I think. Like,
Sabo says, get that. That's a fact, Jack.
That'll complete the sleeve right there. That'll do it. I forgot what I was going to say, but that's what. Oh, Doug. I was thinking about like we you know at some point you know we saw it with Milwaukee. you know, they're going to walk into a tough game and they're going to get beat. Like I don't think we're riding these vibes for 40 more games or however many are left. But you know, they're going to go out there and they're going to swing. Mm-hmm. They're going to swing. And yo, you get a couple of shots to drop from guys like Keegan, Malik. You get a strong first man that could carry you. You know, that could. I don't know that an 18-point comeback is the ideal situation for Sacramento tonight.
Again.
Yeah, like I think if you go back to the Milwaukee game, that's essentially what happened in the Milwaukee game. Mm-hmm. Like they never kicked out. Mm-hmm. Like it was Brock Lesnar versus John Cena at SummerSlam. It was just 48 minutes of an ass whooping. And if somehow, again, easier said than done, if you can avoid that, then yeah, I'll take the Kings competing for 48 minutes and having a chance to beat Denver. No slow starts like you had against Milwaukee.
Yeah,
that's no slow starts like you had against the Warriors last night.
Or-